Hey, everybody, welcome back to another edition of podcast Rethink Podcast. I'm in a great mood.
Why?
It's summer.
Yes. Yeah, you got shorts on?
I got shorts. Well, there's a story behind shorts.
Yep.
So last week, I had shorts on. I was sitting in a chair watching Netflix.
Yep. Just what else are you
doing? Have you heard of Netflix?
I've heard of it, yeah.
It's got some stuff. Anyway, my wife looked over and she said, your legs are translucent. That's how pale they were. Mm-hmm. So I was at the cabin yesterday and I went outside and sat in a chair for 45 minutes and
it looks like your shirt almost.
It does.
Yeah.
I got scorched. I got scorched a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
And by that, I mean, I don't have neighbors for 6 miles.
Yeah. Which is very wise.
Yeah.
Very wise.
But,
did you need bundt cake when you,
oh yes. I just, once again, Margo and Patty, two of my favorite people.
Yeah.
They gave, last time we had a bundt cake here from nothingbuntcakes.com.
Yes.
And, I ate the cake.
The whole thing.
I shared a piece or two.
Yeah.
But then I took it back home,
mm-hmm.
and then I
ate the entire thing.
I ate the entire cake and most of the cupcakes.
Yeah, we had the little buntinis too.
Buntinis?
Buntinis, what they're called. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you ate all those.
Yeah, but tomorrow's a new day for me.
Yeah. No more Chick-fil-A.
Well, that's just blasphemous. What I mean is,
I'll pick up where you.
So on May 1st, Robin and I made a decision that we're going to start eating clean. I'm going to give up my cigars and pipe. 12 weeks was about 4th of July. And then I'm going to eat a bundt cake,
on the
carrot cake.
Yeah, heck
I
am, yeah.
Because I just can't wait. Yeah. That's a goal out there. But I have a goal that if I hit all my workouts, then I can go to Chick-fil-A for breakfast on Saturday morning.
Okay.
That's which a is good really goal. A cutback because I had a lead team meeting earlier and I had a confession. I ate Chick-fil-A 8 meals in a row.
Heck yeah. Leading up to today?
No, it was last week.
Wow.
But 8 meals. So sometimes I'll go and I'll get 2 sandwiches.
Yeah.
And put one in the fridge because they heat up nice. And then eight meals eight in a row. That has to be a record.
It's pretty good. That's really good.
They give me free cheese now sometimes.
That's nice. Yeah. Because it's dumb. You got to pay for that.
I know. The app, you can get the sandwich and everything for free and then they charge you 33 cents for the cheese.
Yeah, it's dumb.
But I can feel myself getting fatter.
Yeah. I get a sandwich and then 4-count strips every time.
Tell the story about your pants.
Oh, so the last time that I taught, which was months and months ago, I'm sitting on stage in my camo slim fits that I go hunting in, you know, and I'm
famo.
Yeah. Famo. It's fashionable camo. So I'm teaching and I feel like my pants are feeling weird. And all of a sudden the button just pops right off. So mid talk, I'm usually like moving with my hands or whatever. I stop and I'm just like super robotic. I finish my talk really fast, get off stage as quick as possible. I get a safety pin, button them, zip them back up, get back up there for the 11 o'clock, the safety pin kind of gives a little bit. And so my zipper goes down and I'm like, I can't readjust my zipper. So I like literally don't move. Cause I'm like, if I move even more, it's going to just keep dropping more and more and more and more. My zipper's undone the whole time. Can't camo that. No.
You know, pregnant ladies, they do the rubber band trick.
Yeah. I should try that next time.
You should try that.
I will. Yeah. I will for sure.
Yeah. We should do a bloopers of stuff we've done on stage.
Yeah.
Cause I got some good ones.
You got some good ones.
Good. I meant to say John the Baptist had on a camel hair.
Yeah. You didn't say that.
I didn't say hair.
No.
Had some type of toe.
Yeah, some type of toe.
And I should have kept going.
But you didn't.
But I stumbled.
Yeah.
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 Well, the time that you at the end of the 11 o'clock service, you went, shout out to Pastor Jim for saying money shot.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, that's the well, I showed this little picture of this little girl in Afghanistan one time and raised enough money for a school.
Yeah.
That's the picture, the shot. To raise all the money.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that.
Doesn't mean that, no.
But I want to thank you for waiting for 4 services to point out to me that doesn't mean that.
At Aurora, I don't see it until the 9 o'clock, so I didn't know what happened Saturday night. So there's at least 2 there, but then I had a guy, I had to like be a good pastor and stuff, so I didn't even get to watch the 9, which I usually do, but then I watched the 11, and then you said it, and I was like, oh, that's great, and you were like, oh, I've said that for every service.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was information that wasn't timely.
It wasn't in your script.
Well, he had on a camel hair Speedo.
Yeah.
Basically, right?
Yeah.
And so I just meant,
you just rolled with it.
I just rolled with it and it came out the wrong way and then you can't get it back.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
For 4 services.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. My favorite is Scott Nichols' blooper at the women's camp.
Yeah, what did he say?
Well, he's talking about Moses and the burning bush.
Yeah.
And he said, ladies, can you imagine if you came out your front door and your front bush was on fire?
Yeah.
And there were like 700 women there and they would not let him forget.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss him.
Yeah.
Hey, so I'm going to kind of do the flip the switch thing here on us. And, You're always interviewing me,
because
I'm old,
right?
And I've been doing this longer than you've been.
Yeah,
alive.
You have a lot more wisdom than me sometimes.
I wouldn't say that. I have a lot more experience.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
But you know, we talk a lot about leadership and things like that. And so I'm on. I don't want to say I'm on the tail end, but I'm definitely on towards the end. Yeah. Right. And you're on the front end. Okay. Yeah. So in terms of leadership, like I want to know like what you're learning. And also, you're 29 years old, mm-hmm. and you're on the front end of this, all right?
Yeah.
What, as you look around and you see all these people have been doing it for a long time, and we talked about insecurity last time about comparing yourself to other people and stuff like that. I don't want to say fear,
mm-hmm.
but what's the thing you're going, I have to get this together to grow as a leader?
Yeah.
Like, what stands out in your mind?
What's the biggest one?
Yeah, maybe the first one that comes to mind.
I think mine's just experience. So it's like, I'm on the campus pastor team. I'm 29. I think the next youngest person's 32, 33. So it's like, I've got at least 3 to 4 years less experience there. They all have been in ministry a lot longer than me.
And Zach
just turned like 50.
Happy birthday. Yeah. No, 50. He had a birthday this week. Happy birthday, Zach. Yeah. 41, I think.
Yeah, 41.
Yeah.
But so it's like they all have all this experience. Like, look at Zach. Zach's been in this for 20 some years.
He's amazing.
Yeah. I've been at this since I was an intern when I was 24, 23, 24.
Right.
And even then, there was no reason that I should have been an intern at all.
That's another podcast.
Yeah. But with that, I think there's just a lot of, there's insecurity in like, I don't have the experience. I think everything leadership wise that I really like do well at is actually just natural stuff that I kind of stumble upon. Not that it's like intentional, but it's like, I think I'm a good leader. I think I'm a good leader, in a natural way. When it comes to like looking at you or Jesse, Jesse's great. Jesse reads every leadership book under the sun and knows every aspect of that type of stuff. For me, it's like, most of my stuff is failure. Most of my stuff is like, oh, I failed here, 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 and here. How did I learn from those six things to get one thing right?
Okay.
And so my biggest insecurity is like, I'm looking at people that are my peers that are years ahead of me.
So give me an example of that, of, hey, here's a learn from a failure. Because sometimes people look at failure and it kind of says, well, then I probably can't do this. And mm-hmm. you look at it going, okay, I have to learn from that. Can you give me an example of one of those?
There was somebody on my team that we let go, and I handled it really poorly. I handled it in a like, I'm really good at promising things that I can't back up. And so for months I had been.
Did you make Taylor go fire him?
And I should have. Yeah. She'd be way more hardcore and to the point than me. But for months it was like, I want to be a people. I'm a people pleaser. That's what I do in a healthy way. And then in an unhealthy way as well. And I, for months I've been like, we can do this. We can do this. Like just trying to like accommodate. So that way we could keep this person who was really good at their job, in the midst of like some stuff that they were going through. At the end of the day, at the end of a long strike, a bunch of strikes, it was like, hey, we need to let this person go. And everything that I had promised, I'd never like cashed up with. I'd never brought back and never like fulfilled what I had promised. And so they had this whole arsenal of like, well, Cole told me this. And it was like, I need to figure out like my words do matter.
So they were right.
They were right in some of the things. There was a lot of things that they were like, no, you weren't doing your job at this point.
Right,
so
right.
It was like, it needed to happen. But there's a lot of stuff that was like, well, Cole told me that I could do this. I was doing that. Like deflected from me doing my job, but like I was doing what Cole told me that I could do.
Mm.
And so there's just a lot of stuff where I've had to learn of like, okay, what I say matters. I can't just like promise things left and right. Cause it like smooths things over in the meantime.
Right.
My intentions were good. I did it too often and it led to a pretty big failure on the back end. So then I've looked at how other people have handled like letting people go. And there's people that are very good, like being very direct to the point and making the right call. There's people who drag it on for too long as well. So I've been able to come in on the backside and help some people out with that. But then it's also good to watch, like there's people who handle it a lot better and there's less carnage. There's less at the back end.
I think, and I'm wired similar to that. Like I'm loyal as a lab, you know? And so I'm always like, okay, there's potential. Let's give me another chance. And finally I'm the last person in the room and everybody's going, Jim, everybody sees this, but you.
Yeah.
And then I go, okay, now I'll make the call.
Yep.
And I think I'm doing them a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not.
I'm setting our team back. I'm setting them back. I'm setting myself back. And then you're cleaning up more on the back end than if you were just straight up on the front end.
Yeah.
Which is where I need to learn how to get better. Is like I do a lot of cleaning up on the back end, because in the meantime it's a less hard conversation.
So how would you do it different? If you got to do
if I got a do-over with that situation, I would have been more direct. I would have thought things through. I don't think things through. You told me before we had a meeting once about like I'm on the fly all the time. I'm really good at that.
King of wing.
King of wing. but I'm also, it also doesn't set me up well. There's like you look at Adam or Steven Krieger, they plan everything out so far that I'm like, I can't even think 2 days out, let alone.
That's a little weird.
It's a little weird. Yeah. Come on. Like just pick it up and go. I would have thought things out more and like played out the repercussions of like, okay, this person has this, this, and this coming up in their life. Instead of being like, oh, we'll figure it out when it gets here. Actually having a plan of like, when that gets here, here's what we can look at. And if this doesn't work, then we have to make this call.
Okay.
But I don't plan things out well. I wing them every time.
So Jamie, your intern's over there in the corner. Yeah. She's just going, he does. He does.
Yeah. I'm not good at planning things out.
So, all right. So you've learned from a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You look back over the last, how long have you been a campus pastor?
Almost 3 years.
Okay. What's a decision you look back and go, I did that one right? This is a little brag on yourself even. Yeah. You know, I was like, I think I did that one pretty well.
It's really easy to hang out in the negative so much.
Sure, absolutely.
I think I'm good at hiring. I think I can pinpoint people's character really well. And so I've had two people that have stepped off my team. One of them was because we needed them to. The other one was because they were switching jobs and going to work for somebody else. But my team is very like strong and they adapt and everybody on my team is a utility player and they're bought into like Flatiron's mission and vision. But looking at their character, it's like there's nobody on my team that couldn't fit on any other team in the building.
Hmm.
I think one of the strengths of my leadership is I get to know people really well in a very short amount of time.
Okay.
And in doing so, like can look at Nicole on my team. We brought her on part-time to start. She's now been our kids director and now our student ministry director. And has like walked through a whole bunch of hard stuff in her life, but in the midst of it has never let go of Jesus and never let go of Flatiron's mission.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, those are the type of people we want in the building that will do anything that they can to push the ball down the field. I think I'm good at pinpointing that in people.
All right. So let's back up. All right. So you didn't plan on doing this.
No.
All right. I mean, you mentioned when you came out as an intern, you were rough.
Yeah. Yeah. To say the least.
Rough.
Yeah. To say the least.
I mean, you still dress like a junior high kid. But,
for sure. Yeah. But that's all part of it. It's good for everybody.
What part is that?
It's just good for everybody. Yeah.
So what switched in you? Because there's a lot of young leaders out there
mm-hmm.
who are doing stuff and going, man, I would like to do something different. Maybe not work for a church, but step into a whole different thing. So how did that switch for you from what your plan for life,
mm-hmm.
Because I mean, tell a bunch of funny stories about high school and college and screwing up. So I get, but then you got involved in Merge, right?
Yeah, I was an intern with Merge.
Right. But how did you even get to that you would want to do a ministry intern?
That's the question. So I came back for a job interview from school. I was going to school out in Nebraska and came back for an interview at some place downtown that was terrible. Like the interview went fine. They offered me the job, but it was like, I don't want to work there. I don't even know why I considered this in the first place. At that point, we'd been coming to Flatirons for years. And I was like, I'll go to church with my parents the next day, and then I'll head back to school. So I came back. There was a video that they put up on the screen. It was Jesse and Scott talking about the internship. And the way they pitched it was like jokingly like, hey, you're going to come and you're going to do manual labor. You're going to move chairs. You're going to do all that. I'm like, I like manual labor. But something in me was like, you need to do that. And now we know that's the Holy Spirit. But at the time, I was like, I don't know what that is. Like, I'm just whatever. Like, I'll apply. So I applied, not knowing what I stepped into. It took 3 months into the internship to realize like, oh, this is... Oh, now I understand what I'm even supposed to be doing as an intern.
Mm-hmm.
But a typical intern interview process is one interview because they know who you are and all that. I had 4 interviews. I didn't pass a background check. I didn't. I actually, as of last month, finally passed a background check. So it took all that time.
It falls off the...
Yeah, was last month. Yeah. But it was just like, there was a bunch of stuff that was like, this doesn't line up with my life at all.
Time out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell my favorite Cole intern story.
Yep.
Because you're an intern with our young adult ministry, right? And we wanted to put out a video.
Yeah.
We wanted to put out a video to all of our young adults. And so we're going to clean this up. Mm-hmm. But well, go ahead and tell the story.
So back in the day, YouTube had a age limit. So if you weren't 18 years old, you couldn't watch all these rap music videos that I wanted to watch. So I lied about my age with my friends, and we thought, like, what would a funny name be for our YouTube page so that way we could, like, pass as an 18-year-old?
Okay, we're not going to do the camel hair thing here, but
so
you got to clean it up, okay?
Yeah, so our name was A Woman's Body Part N Stuff, like the letter N and stuff. 14, because Andres Galarraga is the best baseball player of all time. But... So that was my name. So years go by. That was when I was like 12 or 13. YouTube had just come out. Years go by. I'm 23, 24 now. It's been 10 years. I'm not really thinking like, hey, here's what my...
YouTube let you have that name?
Of
body part and stuff?
Yep. Sure is. Which when you're 13, that's what you're thinking about all the time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
body parts and stuff.
When you're 58.
Yeah, it still happens.
You still think about that.
It still happens.
Just so you know.
But I was like, I got a YouTube channel. Like we could pump the video out through there. It'll be super easy. So we put the video on there. I don't think anything of it. My Gmail account was like ColeWillard14 or something like that. Like it was not the name of my account.
But thousands of people got a YouTube video.
A YouTube thing. We got it off in 4 minutes because we realized it because I got a text from Alex Kelly. He was a center at CU. And he's like, hey, what's blank and stuff? And I was like, oh, dude, that's my old YouTube. And then it like clicked. And I was like, no. So we got on there. We deleted all of them. There was like 4 views. But Jordan Terrell found out and told Scott. So Scott and Michael come up with this plan. The day goes by. Everything's fine. I forget about the whole scenario. And there's a knock at the intern door. It's a big glass door. And it's Scott. And he like does this to me. And I like walk out. And jokingly, I'm like, hey, am I getting fired? He goes, we'll let Michael decide. And it was like my stomach dropped. Like, I'm like, oh, no, what did I do? Like, I don't know what I did at this point. Uh-huh. Not thinking about that. So I get into Michael's office. And Michael's intimidating, especially as an intern. Now me and him are best friends. Just ask him. But I sit down and Michael goes, all right, Cole, tell me about this YouTube channel. And I just start word vomiting. I'm like, it was an accident. It was my fault. Like I made it back in the day. And I'm like just rambling, high-pitched voice. Like I'm scared. Michael asked me like, how many days you have left in the internship? And at this point, there was a potential men's ministry job that I was up for.
Ironically.
And he was like, and I was like, there's like 35 days left. And he does this thing where he takes his glasses off to be intimidating. Uh-huh. So he takes his glasses off and kicks his head up towards the ceiling, which I now know he was trying not to laugh, but that was intimidating me of like, he's really thinking something here. He goes, how do you feel about ending that today? And I like, sit there for a second, my throat catches and I go, no. And like the door busts open. There's 6 people.
Well, you said
door.
Something like, it was a mistake.
It was an accident.
It was an accident.
Yeah. And I go, no. And the door just busts open. There's 6 people listening at the door. They're all laughing. And Michael goes, get out of my office. So it was this whole big prank.
Yeah.
It was the saddest.
Hey, one question, because I want to watch our time. Yeah. Like 3 minutes. Right?
Yeah.
So there's some young 20-somethings out there, and they have a dream. They have a thought, and they're probably just qualifying themselves. Like, you know, if you look at your background check or your resume, you know, I can agree with, I can relate to some of that too.
Yeah.
Like people from college, they are in high school, they're like, you're a pastor?
Yeah, it's shocking.
I thought you're a lie?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a 20-something out there right now who says, someday I would like to, you know, do ministry or do leadership or do a totally different career thing than even what my college prepared me for. And I feel like God's taking me a different way.
Yeah.
What words of wisdom
does
Cole Willard have for a 20-something out there going, I don't know if I want to do this all my life, but I think God might want me to do something else. What would you say to him?
I would say, I think that just the biggest mindset that I've had is like, nothing is too small for you ever.
Explain that.
So like for me, it's like when I realized that I wanted to be doing ministry for the rest of my life, that I was feeling that it was a calling, there was a part-time men's ministry role open. It was the only role open at the time. At that point, there was like 4 or 5 jobs on the table for interns. And I had talked to every director. Every director wanted to like bring me. That's not me bragging. That's just like the conversations that happened. All those fell off except for this one job, which is what I wanted, but it was part-time. And so at that point, it was like Taylor and I didn't make a lot of money. There was no real leadership in the role. It was like, I'm going to support Dan Foote in everything that he's doing and do everything on the back end and do that. There's no leadership in that.
Right.
But my job was to show up every day and do every small thing that was needed to be done. So that way Dan Foote could push men's ministry further.
Mm-hmm. Even if Jesus said, faithful a little.
Yeah.
Faithful a lot.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do the little.
No, nobody wants to do the little. But at the end of the day, like my end goal was never like, I want to be a leader and I want to be this. It was like one step at a time of like, I'm just going to take on what I'm given. But even now in my role, it's like, it's my job to do the smallest thing so that way my team succeeds. So now like looking at my team, it's like I'm at the top of my team, right? In the hierarchy.
Right.
They all have a goal and a mission and things that they need to do that I need to pick up the little stuff so that way they can get that done.
Yeah.
But if your goal is like, I just want to be the top dog and I want to be like at the head of everything and I want to be the face of everything, it's not going to, it's all ego driven at that point, and it's not because you're actually serving.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like everything I've looked at is like, I need to do the small, I need to take out the trash. I need to pick up your Chick-fil-A cup. Like my job has always been like, what are the little things that I can do so that the mission can be pushed a little bit further?
Yeah. I had one of our youth staff years ago said, he grew up in my youth group.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, hey Jim, how to become a great youth pastor like you? And I said, my response, go set up a million folding chairs. Go take a trip and get back. Don't lose the credit card.
Yeah.
Standard, but you know, do all the little stuff, build the sets, build all the stuff that, you know, clean the room, do all the little stuff. And I'm still leaning back on that little stuff when I'm doing the big stuff now.
Yeah. If your goal is to be the face of everything and the leader of everything, you have the wrong goal.
Right. Absolutely.
So for me, it's just like every time, like when I talk to Jamie, our intern, it's like, get your foot in the door. Like you might not want to be a part-time custodian. You get to serve though, and you get to get your foot in the door. And who, I've had like 13 jobs since I've been here in 7 years.
Yeah.
But it's like, just do what you can in the meantime, because you want to be part of the mission of something. You don't want the job.
Right.
Like if I need to take a demotion from Campus Pat or something else, I believe in our mission so much, I'll actually do it. And that's not me like BSing. It's just like our goal and our job is to push people who don't know Jesus
right.
and get them to know Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll do whatever I have to do that.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah.